kind of jumping ahead in Hebrews a little bit, since this is my last night. And so I'm going to jump around in some of the final chapters of the book. But before I do that, as usual, I'd love to hear what's going on with everybody as far as prayer requests and praise reports go. You are welcome to drop those in the chat. And as I see them coming in, I'll read them off and then we'll have a word of prayer. I'll start off while you guys are typing out or coming up with things. There is a very famous apologetic named Ravi Zacharias, and he did pass away today. Unfortunately, he had cancer. They found it very late in the game. I think he was already stage four when they discovered it. And a few weeks ago, they found out that there was no more treatment for him. And they expected that he wouldn't live too much longer, but they didn't think it would be this quick. So I just want to lift up his family. You know, it's always hard when you lose somebody you love. And he just, he had a very large following in the Christian community. Very strong ministry. So that's certainly a blessing, but certainly want to pray for just everything surrounding that situation. April has a praise. Praise for my friend with lupus who is able to breathe without a ventilator. Oh, that is a big praise. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing, April. Oh, somebody's been reading my book. That's so sweet. I appreciate the support. I'm so glad it's been a blessing for you. Definitely something that I wrote from the heart, some stuff I went through in my own life. Kara, my family is in Michigan. The dam broke in the town they live in and they're having flooding. Oh no, we'll definitely pray for that. And pray for more leaders to carry out his work, absolutely. I have an interesting philosophy about that. I really believe everybody is called to be a leader in their own area. So I really think that your talents, you know, I think leadership, we think, oh, that's somebody that gets up front and speaks or, you know, is in charge of a lot of people, but it doesn't always have to be that way. So I really like what you said there, praying for more leaders. I think all of us can strive to be a leader in our own circle of influence. Anybody else? Again, thank you for the support on my book. That's so sweet of you. So glad that's been a blessing. Okay, well, I'm not seeing anything else come up, so we're gonna just get right into it. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we're gonna be in the latter half of Hebrews. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here on Tuesday once again. God, we're just so blessed and privileged to be able to have this time with you. And thank you for everyone in here who has made it a priority for us to just have this 30 to 45 minute call and really set aside everything else that might be stressing us and just give our hearts and minds to you. I want to lift up all the prayer requests that were mentioned. Obviously, we're seeing a lot of things going on surrounding health. So please be with people who have lost loved ones, be with people who are fighting illnesses, especially those who are battling the COVID-19 crisis. We just want to lift those people up in a special way and ask that you continue to guide all of us as we navigate that. And be with any other prayer requests that I might have missed as well, different things that are happening in everybody's lives. And thank you also for the praises, God. We don't want to forget to recognize all the little things that you do for us all the time. And thank you for the people that you place in our lives as a light and a guide as we seek to know you better. Please be with each of us as we continue on with our weeks and help us to continue to keep our eyes focused on you. We love you so much and can't wait to see you soon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So I was looking through the final chapters of Hebrews, trying to decide how in the world am I going to be able to encompass everything that's left in here. And of course, I probably can't, but I did want to touch on what I felt was some of the strongest points that we see in the remaining latter half of Hebrews. And I do also just really encourage you guys, I think we had chapters 8 through 13 left. And even though I'm not going to be here to continue to guide you through all of that, I would still highly recommend that you go ahead and finish reading it. Hebrews is a great book because the chapters are fairly short. And so you can get through them in a decent amount of time, and there's just a lot of really fun stuff packed in there. I realize that Hebrews is not always the easiest book to understand, but it is really fun. It connects a lot with the Old Testament. It talks a lot to the believers who are, they've had Christ walk among them, and now they're learning how to navigate after he's left. And I think that there's some things in there that we still deal with today. So I'd encourage you to finish reading it. As we're looking at it today, I'm jumping into Hebrews 10 to start off. And there's a section in Hebrews 10, verse 19, that's in my Bible titled, A Call to Persevere in Faith. And I really thought that for tonight, for this being my last night, we would just have a conversation about faith. What does faith look like to you? Is faith a concept that you struggle with sometimes? I know that often if I have a conversation with people who are not in the same faith as me, who don't believe in God, they always ask me a lot of questions about, well, how can you really believe that? How can you really know that? How can you really like maintain that trust? So I wanted to see, before I get too far into anything, what you guys think about faith and perhaps what has kept your faith strong up until this point. So put an X in the chat if you'd like to share a little bit about faith. What is faith? What has kept your faith strong? What is faith and what has kept your faith strong? Who's going to be the brave person to jump in? Sunny, go for it, Sunny.
Very cynical person by default, but something that helps my kind of keeps my cynicism in check and helps me to maintain that lifeline back to the church is whenever people disappoint me, which we live in a very broken world, on average, people are going to disappoint you. If you don't know that, I hate to burst your bubble, but it's the reality. I try to focus on how perfect God is, and throughout history, I was a history major in college before I went to law school. Throughout history, I think we can kind of see God's perfection, and in times of moral crisis, people's imperfection highlights that much more how perfect God is. So for someone who tends to be very cynical, that helps me keep my pessimism in check.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And I like how you touched on history because, you know, I think when you go back and study history and really study the progression of things, it's very interesting. It's especially interesting to see kind of how historical findings have lined up with the Bible. In fact, if you guys have never researched how we even got the Bible in its current state, it's a very fascinating thing to read about and to study. Because we see that there have been different discoveries throughout the time, throughout history, that have verified a lot of what we've seen in the Bible. The most recent large discovery was the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. But yeah, that's another topic for another time, but it is really fun to see how that lines up, and it gives us a lot of validation as well. Absolutely. Anybody else? How do you keep your faith strong, and what is faith? One more person before we jump into the text.
I'll go ahead. Okay, I think for me, faith is belief in that which isn't seen yet. But I think it's even belief in that which hasn't even materialized in your life yet. I mean, there's so many promises of God. Even God himself, we can't physically see with our own eyes, but it's a belief, but you can, and it's one of those deals where I think faith can be a well-worn word sometimes. I'll just keep the faith. We just don't really know what it is, but I always look at faith as like, is trusting in God regardless of the outcome, you know, because a lot of people say, well, I've lost faith in God because of evil or something. And I think it's true faith, it's definitely something that happens spiritually. It's having that ability to say, regardless of the outcome, God, I still trust you and believe in you because of how of the goodness that you are. So that, to me, that's kind of what it is. I mean, that's a very short answer to a very complex question, but I mean, that was my two cents.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I like what you said about that trust factor, and also the fact that sometimes things we put our faith in, we haven't seen them happen yet, but we are choosing to believe that they're gonna happen. And I think we're gonna see a lot of that in the texts for today. So we're gonna go ahead and get into it. Hebrews 10 verse 19. I'm just going to briefly read through this little section here because I think it's really powerful. So I'm reading from the NIV, and it says this: "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So you'll remember that a couple of weeks back, we talked about some of the traditions in the Old Testament. And then we also talked about how Jesus came and was a fulfillment of a lot of those things. And we mentioned that when Christ died, the curtain in the tabernacle was torn. And we see that referenced here where it talks about the curtain. It says, let me see if I can find it. The curtain, that is his body. So it's very interesting. It's kind of like a symbolism and also a reference to the curtain. And so it talks about, because Jesus came and we have this testimony of his life, we are able to look at that as evidence that we can solidly put our faith in him. And it's also interesting, going back to what Sonny mentioned about history, there are a lot of historians who do agree that Jesus came on earth and that he was a real being and person that walked and taught and did all the things he did. So it's very interesting how that kind of, even without the religious side of it, we see this person who we're able to really believe really did come and really did do some of these things. And I think it's also cool how it talks about how important it is for us to meet together. So for example, having these Zoom calls and being able to talk with one another and think about what faith means is very helpful for us. We are going to jump forward now to chapter 11, where it's titled, for my Bible, it says faith in action. So Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And I think that when we read the Bible, and I think throughout all of my presentations, I hope you've realized that my biggest emphasis is really on two things. Primarily, my biggest emphasis is just to study the Bible and read it for yourself. And I think my second emphasis is really that everything revolving around our relationship with Christ has to do with choice. And so when we look at the word faith, faith doesn't even have to just be in regards to God. There are a lot of people in the world who put their faith in things that they're not 100% sure of, but they still choose to believe in it. Some people even argue that, you know, following science and following evolution, it's still a level of faith. So it's very interesting to think about that, that faith is really at its core a choice, a decision to say, I don't have all the answers, but it's okay. I'm going to take what I'm given and choose to believe. And there's a lot of references in the life of Christ where Jesus tells us, your faith has cured you, or just have faith and believe. Or there's very popular reference to faith as small as a mustard seed. So the answer to having stronger faith is not to have all the answers, but rather to continually make that choice to say, you know what, God, some of this has not been revealed to me, but I have faith that because of the things I've seen so far in history and so far in my life, I know that it's going to make sense eventually, and I'm going to keep trusting in you. We're going to jump forward once again, because like I said, I'm trying to really touch on everything here. We're going to look at Hebrews 11 further down the page here. If we go to I'm not going to read these all out, but if you jump through 11, you're going to see a lot of different Bible characters mentioned. So for example, 11 verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch. And then 11 verse 7 says, by faith, Noah. And then it goes on to Abraham and Sarah and Abraham again and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Joseph and Moses. This entire chapter is listing off some of the most well-known and popular Bible characters in the whole Bible. And so it's interesting to realize in this chapter that the message for us is that these people did not have all the answers. They were doing these amazing things that we see in the Bible on faith. I think for me growing up for so long, I just really thought, you know, oh man, being a Bible character, it'd be so much easier because then I would just know God was real and I'd just see all the things and I'd have all the answers. But according to Hebrews 11, these people did not see all the things or have all the answers. In fact, a lot of times these people were misguided or they were a little bit confused about certain things. We think about the disciples. The disciples heard the phrase New Jerusalem, and they thought that meant that within their lifetime, Jerusalem was going to have a new king and it was going to rise up and kind of take over the whole world. But now we look back and we see that's not exactly what it meant. It meant something else. And so again, we see that having faith does not rely on knowing everything or being a theologian or having all the answers. It's instead that choice to say, I love you, God, and I trust you. And so Hebrews 11, I just really would encourage you to, again, take the time to read through there. It's very interesting to point out as it explains some of those stories that we know so well and kind of reveal to us that they didn't have all the answers like we might have originally thought. All right, we're going to jump forward again to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, we see another really famous verse that I really love that I'm going to have somebody else read this time. So who would be able to read Hebrews 12 verse 1 through 3? Put an X in the chat if you are willing to read Hebrews 12 verse 1 through 3. It's a really famous, famous Bible verse. Thank you, Larry. Go for it.
Okay. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for reading that. It's such a beautiful verse. It just reminds us that, you know, no matter what happens, as long as we continue to choose to follow Christ and to choose to persevere, you know, God is really going to work in our lives. And I think also, not only is God going to work in our lives, but I think other people start to notice, you know, there's something different about that person. They've had a lot of hard things happen and they're still, you know, pushing on. And that's a really beautiful testimony, not only to the fact that, you know, that opens up an opportunity for us to share Christ with someone, but also it just shows that a life with faith in Christ really is worth it. It really does make us have a more fulfilled lifestyle, more peace, more happiness. I know that I remember one time I was in a discussion with somebody who was an agnostic. And even though at the end of the discussion, we had different viewpoints, I do remember one thing he said to me that really stood out to me. And he said, you know, through this whole conversation, you've been extremely gracious towards me. And we'd been talking for a few months, so he knew some of the things that had happened in my life. And he was like, you know, through everything, I can just really tell that your faith is serving you well. And that just that phrase really stuck with me for a long time, that my faith was serving me well. And that was an encouragement for me to realize that, you know, Christ is working in our lives. When we make this choice and we commit and we continue to do the things that we see we're called to do in the Bible, it really does make an impact on our character. We're going to jump forward once again to chapter 13. And we're going to go to chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. And I'll get another volunteer, somebody new. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Again, we're on this theme of faith moving through here. Reggie, thank you, Reggie, go for it. If you are talking, you are on mute.
What was the verse again, Melissa?
Oh, I got you. Okay, chapter 13, verse 5 and 6.
Okay, give me one moment.
Yep.
Trying to get my Bible to work.
That's okay.
Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, right?
Yep.
Okay. Hebrews 13, verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Absolutely. Thank you. So we see this kind of interesting progression as we're going through this final, these final chapters of Hebrews. We see that faith is a choice. We see that the Bible characters themselves are an example of what it looks like to choose faith. We see a Bible verse in chapter 12 that reminds us that it's worth it to persevere and keep at our faith, even when it's hard. And then here in the very final chapter, we see that Christ has promised to be with us through it all when we choose faith. I'm just going to reiterate what it says. Never will I leave you or forsake you. And then also, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And it reminds me of a story. It's kind of a dark story, but it has an interesting message. And I remember when I read it in the news, it really stuck with me. Unfortunately, there was a family not too long ago. I believe they were in Mexico or New Mexico. And they were traveling, and amid their travels, their car was overtaken by some people who had something out for them. And it was a family, it was parents and children. And unfortunately, many of the people in the car, some of the children and some of the both of the parents, were murdered. But there were a couple little children who got away from what was happening, and they hid. And they were injured, some of them were injured, but they hid, and they waited for these bad people to move on from what they were doing. And there was a girl in there, I believe she was 8 years old, and she was the oldest child in the group. And she knew that her siblings, who were injured but still living, needed help. And so she set out walking. And if I'm not mistaken, the article said she walked something like 11 miles. So I just want you to think about that, an 8-year-old little girl walking 11 miles. And the reason that she did this was because she wanted to find help for her siblings. And she knew that if she kept walking, she believed, she didn't know for sure, but she had faith and believed that if she kept walking, she was going to find help for them. So I know that's a very traumatic story, but the beauty of it is the fact that she walked those 11 miles without really knowing for certain that somebody was going to be there for her, and she did it anyway. And so I think that you know, I think we reach a point in our faith walk where we will have the confidence that God is there for us, and we will be able to really strengthen our faith. But I know that sometimes for those of us who have maybe strayed away from faith or taken a break from our belief or whatever the case may be, it can be very challenging to get back into it. And it can really feel like, man, I want to believe, but there are so many things I don't know. There's so many things I've messed up on. There's so many like opportunities that maybe I've missed or times I've disappointed God. And so I just really want to encourage you to take on some of the mindset of that little girl and think about, you know, if I keep at this, if I keep choosing this, if I keep praying about this, I'm going to find that help. And for that, for you, that help might look like something different. It's going to look different for all of us. But it is that choice and that perseverance, just like those Bible characters in Hebrews 12, that's really going to get us through. And I think we all have moments, you know, even 20 years from now, you'll likely have moments where you're like, man, this is really hard. But it's important for us to persevere. And then for those of you who really feel like, you know, my faith is doing pretty good. I'm really more looking for my next move in ministry. I'm really looking for how can I be a better witness and how can I better understand who I'm supposed to be reaching out to. Again, I want to make you think of that little girl. She was walking not just for herself, but because of her siblings. In fact, the main reason she was walking and persevering was for her siblings, to help find them some help. And to get them help. And so for those of us who are in this, who know we want to do this, sometimes we still face burnout and we still face challenges. And it's in those moments that we have to remember the other people in the world out there who don't know Jesus yet. And maybe the only way they're really going to be open to knowing him is by watching how we walk and watching what we do. And so in some of those situations, we have to be that little girl and keep walking for the sake of other people around us. I have this really weird habit. I picked it up probably in middle school. I don't really know what made it come to me, but that's when it started, where whenever I'm in the car, I see all the people driving on the road with me, or in middle school, driving on the road with my parents. And I used to just randomly look at all the cars, and I used to wonder to myself, I wonder which ones of these people know Jesus. I wonder who on the road knows Jesus. And it was such a really weird thought. I don't really know what got me into it. But I still think it. And I live in Atlanta now, where there's a ton of traffic. So I see a lot of cars. And I really think about that. You know, how many of these people know Jesus? How many of these people have had an opportunity to know Jesus? Or even how many of these people know somebody who knows Jesus, and yet that person hasn't shared anything with them? And so I've started making it a habit of just praying. You know, if I'm at a stoplight, sometimes I'll look at all the cars around me and I'll just say, like, you know, God, be with these people. I don't know what they're doing or where they're going, but be with these people. And I'm really learning a lot from doing that. It's really opened my mindset to how many people are in the world. And I'll just close on this last little story, and then I'll let us have just a few minutes for discussion, because I really enjoy hearing back from you guys. My dad shared something with me that's always stuck with me, and I don't know if he's on the call. I know my mom is on the call. But anyways, when he was considering his career, for those of you who don't know, he is a pastor. So when he was considering his career, originally he actually really wanted to be a pianist, a concert pianist. And he really loves Rachmaninoff, if there's any of those classical music fans in the room. And anyways, he had this dream one night where he was in a concert hall and he was playing the piano and he was giving, you know, an elaborate performance. And all of a sudden, while he was performing, the wall started to shake, and it was like there was an earthquake happening. And as he was in the midst of his concert, the walls of the place he was in, the auditorium, they fell, and he looked outside and he saw that it was Jesus coming back to earth. And of course, for him, it was exciting and happy because he had already accepted God. He knew about that. He was excited in his dream. However, the people in the audience were terrified, and they turned and they looked at him in that moment, and they said, you know, how can you be happy? You knew about this. you know, you knew this was going to happen. And of course he knew it was going to happen. And they said, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us this was going to happen? And so that was a very providential dream for him. And he woke up from that and he knew that as much as he loved the piano, and it's not wrong to be a pianist or anything like that, he knew that for him personally, he wanted to be able to tell those people in the audience what was happening and prepare them for that. So I don't know what your calling is, but I do know that each of you has one. And it's really up to you. It's a choice whether you're going to have faith in that calling and pursue it. But I do know that if you choose to pursue it, you will find it. And for each of you, that's going to be something different. For me, that's going to look like something different. But that doesn't diminish the value of it. And so I just hope that, you know, as you're going through these next couple weeks, I'm just going to really be praying for you. Even if we're not meeting, just want to pray that you find your calling and you find those people, find your audience, find your siblings who are hurting, who need to hear and watch and learn from you. And that's pretty much what I've got for tonight. Any questions or comments, you are welcome to drop them in the chat. Or if you want to come off mute, you can drop an X in the chat. And I'd be happy to chat with you. Since I'm abandoning you, could you get a free signed copy of my new book when it's available? Oh, I wish I could. I will probably give some away. I will be honest, the publishing process takes quite some time. So it's going to be over a year, likely, until it's in stores. But certainly, follow me on social media, and you just never know what might happen.
I know the publishing process. I'm starting to learn that really well right now. So,
absolutely. Yep. It takes a long time. Reggie put an X in the chat. Reggie, you are welcome to share with us.
Yeah, Melissa, just want to thank you for all your contributions, for being with us for the last, how long has it been? What, 2 months? We appreciate your ability to take the word and break it down and make it digestible. People call that the John Madden process, but you managed to explain it without it being heavy-handed. Now, I'm a Bible nerd and I grew up in church, but you've been able to even enlighten me on stuff. I'd never really studied Hebrews in the expressive way that you've been describing it. So thank you for that. We'll miss you and we appreciate all you did.
Oh, thanks, Reggie. I appreciate that a lot. You know, I really can't take credit. I really can't. And I know I hear a lot of pastors say that, and it always bothers me. I'm like, oh, whatever. You know, deep down, they're really feeling good about themselves. But I really can't because I think sometimes things just, it's God, you know, you can't take credit for it. And I think if nothing else, you know, it's nice to hear the praise from you guys. But more than anything, I hope it just has inspired you to continue to read the Bible for yourself. That's at the heart of why I do it, but I really appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that.
I've enjoyed your all of these discussions, but I've enjoyed yours. After listening to you speak and lead out, I have a greater hunger to read the Bible for myself and actually just break down scripture more. Cause you know, like Reggie, you know, I'm a Bible nerd too, seminary geek and church kid, you know? So, I mean, I have it all, but I mean, even me, I've kind of had times where I've strayed from the discipline of actually making it enjoyable and not just, well, I got to read my Bible today. I mean, I think we can all follow that at some point, but you really gave me a love for the word again. So I thank you for that. Plus, aww, I'm excited I get to write for your blog and collaborate with a fellow writer and all that. And so all that's exciting as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well, praise God for that. Yeah. And I know you and a couple other people in here are really, you know, looking forward to being more involved in ministry. And I think, you know, I used to, when I was considering ministry, I used to think, you know, how do I, you know, get to be the best? How do I know all the stuff? And I read a lot of books and listened to a lot of sermons. And then I had to kind of laugh at myself because I know, like, if you want to be successful in ministry, I think the best thing you can do for yourself is read the Bible. Just read it straight. And you'll be amazed how many doors will open for you. and how many times suddenly all the arguments, all the things that you find yourself in that in the past you're like, man, I don't know how to answer this. You know, that scripture will come to mind in a new way. And so many people tell me, you know, oh, how did you learn what you know about the Bible? You know, even with this study with Hebrews, how did you learn such deep insight on Hebrews? I really just read it. I really did. I didn't use any outside sources. I think there's a place for outside sources, but at the heart of everything, you know, I really think we have to give credit to the Holy Spirit. And when we take the time to read the Bible as it is, Christ will reveal to us his own commentary. He really will. I really am a living testimony of that. So hopefully that's helpful. All right, last call for any questions or comments, and then we're going to wrap it up. All right, here we go. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Melissa, for being a good example to all of us. May the good Lord lead you during these difficult times. Be sure to join back in every once in a while. Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to join in. I will definitely continue to get the updates of everything happening with AYP because I'm very involved with Tim and with Southeast, so I'll definitely be staying in touch. Timothy, you caught us right at the end. Go for it, Timothy. You are muted if you're trying to speak.
Yeah, I just got out of the store. I can't find my car, but if I don't pick up the phone now, I'm going to miss my opportunity. But yeah, I just want to say, Melissa, I just appreciate how you did everything and the fact that you chose to do this. Because you could have spent this time just like napping for the last 2 months. It's like, hey, it's a good time to just kind of sit back and relax. But you chose to sacrifice a chunk of your time to spend with the likes of us. And we appreciate that.
Oh, that's sweet. I could say the same to all of you. I appreciate that. Hastings.
Yeah, I parked. I see where I'm at.
Okay, oh, good. I'm so glad. I said a little prayer.
Can y'all hear me?
Go for it, Hastings.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Thanks again, Melissa. Just echoing what everyone else said. I think the main word I've gotten out of all these devotionals, especially yours as well, is like the choice, you know? It's like, I think that's the one thing that I had not ruled out, but never really thought about, like, oh man, it's a choice. Like, I mean, it's not like you're not forced to, you know, read the Bible, spend time with God. He wants it to come, you know, willingly because you love him. So I think that's definitely the perspective shifting has made me like, okay, you know what, Lord, okay, you love me. And you know what? I love you too. Let's spend some time together. So I think that's definitely switched my perspective a lot. So thank you, Melissa.
Oh, that's awesome. Praise God. Yeah, absolutely. That's going to make a world of difference for you. Because otherwise, you know, there's so many distractions. You can get caught up in church politics, people, you know, whatever it might be, your parents. I don't know what your background might be. But yeah, unless it's your choice, it's not going to be meaningful. And that's something that's important for us to realize, definitely. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up with prayer. And then I'll give it over to Tim. And I think he's got a special announcement for who's going to be taking over on Tuesdays. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much for this lovely group of people. Thank you for everything that they have taught me and showed me just through their amazing comments and feedback and discussion. Help all of us, God, to just continue to learn and grow. We all have things that we want to get better at and stronger in, and we just ask that you continue to reveal those things to us and help us know what the next steps are to take. Be with each of us in a special way. Just send your Holy Spirit, God, into all of these homes with whatever they're going through in a special way, especially this week. Just help them to feel that anointing and just help them to really feel closer to you in these times as they continue to try and grow their faith in you. Be with all the people, even the ones that we haven't met yet, God, that we're going to continue to minister to. Send your angels to prepare their hearts and minds as we approach them, as we have a message that we're going to carry on to them, both from speaking to them as well as just our example, God. Just prepare them and help us to be a testimony of our faith and of our love for you. We love you so much, and we can't wait to hang out with you and each other in heaven. Amen.